comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Nerds United Live on YouTube and on Facebook. Nerds United, of course, a Jittery Monkey podcast, part of the Jittery Monkey network of podcasts, available at jitterymonkey.com. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko, and usually the one face over here is the co-host. That actually worked out well. Is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, but Mike is joined, at least at the beginning of the show, by his son, Nolan, because Mike, you're going to slough off and be productive on a Friday night, and Nolan and I are going to talk some D&D. Mike, tell us a little bit about our esteemed guest for this evening.
I mean, you just said it all. His name's Nolan. That's about all you need to know.
I didn't know if there was anything more you want to, like, you know, talk about. Like, I remember the day he was born, and
I do remember that day.
Yeah.
It was a cold April morning back in 2000.
I thought you were going to say it was a cold August morning. I was like, that doesn't seem to make sense.
Actually, probably pretty warm that morning.
April.
April could be either way.
Yeah,
you know. But no, I have stuff to do, and where you guys are going to talk about D&D. So I'm just going to give it to them.
Yeah. Well, before you go, I did say in the write up in the article about or you know however people did this the description. This is not Nolan's first time on the show.
True.
It's just his first time live on the show. We did a very special Christmas special years back here at the house. I want to say I estimated that Mike is 2019. Is that something about right? 5 years ago?
I think I was in high school. I remember being
pre-COVID.
Freshman in high school, I think that's how old I was. About 2019, 2018, somewhere around there.
And we kept it super wholesome. Instead of drinking beers, we had hot chocolate. It was a remarkable recording at the kitchen table. So welcome back, Nolan. And Mike, you can leave.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. I'll see you guys later.
All right. So before we get too far into it, we are live.
And okay.
Pit Snipe Husker is here. Says, nice porn stash.
Oh, thank you.
And asks if
that's
it has a name.
Why I grew it. The name, it's it's called, let's see here, The Stash, you know. Why I named it, because.
Fair enough. You grew it for the career, not the other way around.
Yeah, for sure, you know.
Awesome. Well, no, I kind of want to start because I was talking to your dad about this. I'll interchange, refer to him as Mike or your dad or the co-host of the year.
Yeah.
But I did play Dungeons and Dragons, like, I don't know, 2-3 times.
Okay.
As you know, this was 30 plus years ago, before I ever moved to Clinton County. When do you remember first starting to get into D&D?
That is a great question.
I ask only the great questions.
I can already tell. You know, that's why we have so many listeners here tonight.
Jeez, you just have to dig me.
Yeah. Let's see here. I think it was around, I want to say 2018. No, 2020. 2020 is when I first started getting into it. I first started learning about Dungeons and Dragons, you know. I just so happened to get a YouTube, you know, video and I was like, of, you know, someone playing Dungeons and Dragons. Like, oh, I like this. I want to do this in the future, you know. So once I started college, I joined the
D&D. COVID changed a lot of lives.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It brought you to D&D.
Yeah. Well, luckily, mine didn't change too much because, you know, I didn't go outside all that often or hang out with friends. So it's like, you know, the only thing that changed is I just saw my teachers through a screen. That was pretty much it, you know.
Gotcha. I see. So I do know this through other friends of mine that I know who play D&D is that, I mean, it used to be obviously like pre-internet. I mean, you had to sit down around a table, have the campaign, you know, but now, as I imagine, maybe some of your games are. I mean, it's a lot, you know, done on, I don't want to say like through chat or something, but like, you know, it's done virtually. You know, I got a buddy of mine who plays, I think he says every Monday night or something like that for a couple hours with, you know, friends from all over.
Yeah, that's honestly most of my D&D games are just online, you know. So I've played D&D with people like all around the world. I've played with someone from India. I've played with someone from Norway.
Oh, wow.
You know, I played with someone through, you know, other like more exotic places like Missouri or, you know, Idaho, just all over the map, really.
Here's an interesting question from Pitt says, okay, so learning and enjoying D&D is highly dependent upon the talent of the Dungeon Master, would you say?
Oh, I would say definitely. I would say definitely, you know, if you have a... Luckily, all the Dungeon Masters I've had are great, you know. I say this because, you know, they might be watching this, but probably not. But, you know, they're all wonderful.
When you're going to be on the show, then maybe we could have four years. So.
But, yeah, if you have a... you know, a bad dungeon master who either just, you know, seems to target you for whatever reason or just isn't very good, which, you know, has been me in the past, you know, first, especially when you're first starting out. But, yeah, luckily my first dungeon master was awesome. So
it's all about, the theater of the mind, right? Like you have to imagine this world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, in doing very little research, because anybody who knows me knows that I do very little research about anything.
Absolutely. I've been told that several times.
But Dungeons & Dragons first came out in 1974.
I think that's about right. Yeah, I know it was in the 70s, you know.
Gary Gygax, Dave Arneson. I've heard that the name Gary Gygax before.
Yeah, he's like the main creator of Dungeons & Dragons.
And I honestly, I don't know if it was on like The Big Bang Theory or something. I mean, I know The Big Bang Theory, especially, you know, like later seasons, they had certain, you know, story arcs that revolved around Dungeons and Dragons, similar to Community. And, you know, I feel like it obviously it's been around longer than me or your dad have been alive, you know, so it's not new, but I still feel like it's not fully mainstream. Which is, I think, encouraging by the fact that you have like groups of celebrities. I think like Joe Manganiello hosts, you know, a pretty regular D&D, you know, event with other celebrities. Will Wheaton, you know, so the fact that you have some lower A to B list celebrities, you know, getting together and I don't remember watching the first Dungeons and Dragon movie or movies, but I did like Honor of Thieves or the one Honor that came out a couple Among Thieves. Thank you.
Yeah.
That came out a couple of years ago with Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez and other people.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to say, you know, like gatekeeping, but when you find something that you really enjoy, do you want to kind of keep it to yourself, or are you kind of excited by the fact that it's like getting more, I would say not notoriety, but more like you know, widespread recognition?
You know, honestly, it never really bothers me how much people play it. I just play it my way, you know, and I like to, you know, play with people who play it my way. If other people want to play it a different way or they want to, you know, change something about it, that's fine, you know. That doesn't bother me at all. So... you know, I love me all as many people as I can get in it, you know.
That's
if
awesome.
Anyone asks me, like, oh, hey, I want to get in Dungeons & Dragons, you know, I'll be the first to be like, oh, yeah, for sure, you know.
So Pitt's here. I think he's a bit of a D&D enthusiast. Yeah. Says Dropout has some D&D-like videos on YouTube. I found them fascinating. Brendan set up some very engaging sequences. The dude is talented. Is that a YouTuber that you're familiar with?
So Dropout is just a service platform, right? Kind of like Netflix, kind of like Hulu, you know, except that it's more online-based, you know? So, but it has a bunch of, it has a series of actually Dungeon, D&D, I used to say videos or series called Dimension 20. And they have some very good, you know, D&D, like, series. So there's one called Fantasy High, which is about, like, high schoolers and like high fantasy.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, there's the Unsleeping City, which is like in New York, and like Secret Magical World. That I think they have like 20 plus, you know, what they're called, like D&D, you know, adventures are usually called campaigns. Mm-hmm. So I think they have at least 20 campaigns, you know.
Pitt asking as many good questions as I am tonight. Could a D&D group even establish themselves if somebody isn't ahead of the curve to have enough knowledge to be the master?
So let's see. Okay, so could a D&D group even establish them if somebody isn't ahead of the curve to have enough
knowledge? So I guess, you know, okay. Like you had a group of 5-6 newbies going in, and I don't mean that, you know, in a drag, but like who are all just kind of learning together. But do you have to have one who has a little bit more knowledge?
If depending on exactly what, if everyone is new to it, then you can all kind of learn together. That would probably be fine, you know. Typically, you kind of want the Dungeon Master to have a little bit more, like, experience, you know, enough so they can, you know, look at the rules and be like, okay, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do. You know, because I remember my first time Dungeon Mastering, I would constantly be like, all right, okay, so you want to make an attack. Okay, hang on. I just got to look at my, you know, just look at the book for real quick for like about 3 minutes, you know. Right. And that would kind of stop everything, you know. When you're running you like a chase bit sequence, you know, you kind of want things to be fast-paced. But
I remember, again, I got to go back. I was maybe 11 or 12.
Okay.
Which is probably the last time I played D&D. Yeah. But, you know, you have the Dungeon Master. He's got the wall.
Yeah.
So he can keep all of his notes behind. But I do remember, for whatever reason, like, we had graph paper.
Yeah, so...
Are you familiar with graph paper at your age? Is graph paper still a thing? Like, with...
They, you know, sheet paper, it's not as much squares? A thing anymore. I know of graph paper, but, well, you know, we have calculators that just graph for us. We don't really got to worry about that.
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. But, yeah, that's usually made for like making maps of, you know, if you're entering a dungeon, mm-hmm. you know, or if you want to have actual like minifigures of your character and to use those in like combat situations. What you could do is, you know, you have like graph paper and you can make a map of that.
I see.
So, you know, like how far you need to move for certain stuff.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, it seems like it's pretty advanced stuff for a bunch of 11-year-olds to try to be meddling with.
It can be, you know, but once you get, like, a simplified version of it, it's not that bad, you know?
I got you. So, I mean, I just, with the, again, almost 50-year, wait, if I'm doing it right, no, I'm sorry, 51-year, math is easy, history of Dungeons & Dragons, I mean, there's, I don't want to say, I mean, there's nothing stale about it. I mean, they continue to add new books, I don't want to say like campaigns, but I mean, like they're always coming up with something new, right? What is it that keeps Dungeons & Dragons kind of at least ever evolving?
I think one is that I want to say about every, usually about every 10, 15 years, they'll make a new version that's completely different from the old version. So right now, most people call it like 5.5 edition, and that's the newest version that we're on right now.
Okay.
So, and other stuff like, you know, people make their own stuff, you know, it's called homebrew, which is, you know, like, oh, this isn't, you know, there's nothing here in for me, I'm just gonna make it myself, you know.
That's fair. Yeah,
and I've done that before, you know, some good, some bad, you know. But yeah, you know, and also making new books, you know, adding onto what they already have.
Pitt says, and I'm trying to, there we are, trying to make some adjustments. Pitt says an 11-year-old level of buy-in and creativity, that's about the right place for D&D to be enjoyed. But, I mean, I think with the right, I feel like sometimes I struggle, like, on the creative side of things. So, I'm sure 11-year-old me was much more creative than
42-year-old. Oh, yeah, for sure, you know.
But, you know, it is something that I'm, you know, I'm interested enough in at least playing in the world that others create, if that makes
sense. Yeah.
So, let's see. It says Dimension 20, great improv meets RPG.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely, you know.
And also says the one fella from there is Kimmel's announcer now, I think. I don't know
the
truth about that. But we appreciate you, Pitt, because you are you are making the show.
Our third host, you know, he just happened to be chatting right now.
Right, right. So do you have, I guess it's a general question, but is there, when you play Dungeons and Dragons, do you have one character that you have that is like, no matter where you are, what you do, or can you, do you have like a wallet full of characters that you could just pull out and, you know, play that?
Typically,
depending on the campaign,
it depends really. Typically, you know, if you're a dungeon master, you have a bunch of characters that you kind of pull out depending on where your players are or what they're doing. But if you're a player, typically you have one character. It's not super common because once you get into D&D, one of the most addicting things is making new characters. You know, okay. I've made honestly about 99% of the characters I have made, I have not played.
Wow.
I just like making them, you know, not even for specific campaigns, just in general.
I'm going to equate that best I know how. So, not this past Christmas, which was a couple weeks ago, but Christmas 2023, mm-hmm. We got Garrett, my oldest, for his Nintendo Switch. We got him the Lego 2K Drive Racing.
Okay.
And, you know, we have a timer on there. I don't want him to sit and play Nintendo all day long. You know, that's how I ended up the way I am. But, you know, like he'll spend, if he has 30 minutes of Nintendo time, he'll spend 20 of that making new cars, making new vehicles.
Yeah.
And then he may go, you know, test them out on the track or something. So,
yeah,
it's, you know, it sounds like it's very similar. You know, half the fun is just building, you know, something different. I always thought, you know, the best that corollary that I have is when I was playing the WWE video games, and you're like, I would just want to go in and create my wrestler and then just go. I didn't want to spend a ton of time creating a whole stable. I was like, this is the one I want.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, some people are like that, you know.
I guess I was more like, let's get in there.
So,
but I mean, it makes sense because some of the campaigns, you know, at least some of the online ones maybe that you're mentioning, you know, some that are high fantasy, some that are like sleepy New York. I mean, you can't take the same type of character into all of those different scenarios.
Yeah.
So I think for most people, when they think of, you know, the highest form of high fantasy would be Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You
know? So, I mean, that has wizards, elves, dwarves, orcs, goblins, trolls, dragons, men, you know, warriors.
Yeah.
What these are all, I mean, is that like just the general, I don't know, nature of the types of characters you create? Like how in depth, how nuanced does some of this character creation go?
Well, if you're talking like, you know, there's two parts. There's actual like the, you know, the mechanics of it. And then there's kind of the flavor of it, right? Typically, you know, like backstory stuff, which is more flavor-wise, it's where you really get into nuance, you know, the actual like character creation, so like what, how strong you are, how, you know, fast you are, stuff like that. It's pretty cut and dry.
And I feel like those, you know, whether it's, you know, bumping up a player's strength, stamina, charisma, constitution, things like that, those would be, you know, those would be have to be the learned or gained skills to level up, I suppose.
Yeah.
Whereas that backstory, the depth, the onion, the layers, as Shrek would say, you know, those that's the flavor that you're talking about. That's the stuff that doesn't necessarily have to be earned or learned. That's what you kind of necessarily bring to the into the character. So, I don't even know that this is kind of putting you on the spot, not like, you know, choosing your children, but because I don't know if you have like a binder or just if it's all stored, but like, what's your favorite character that you've created?
Oh, my favorite character I've created. I've made some good characters. I think I'm going to say my first character that I ever created, his name was Wiven Winston. He was a bard, which is someone who gets their powers through like musical arts or
You know, we've all seen The Witcher. We know about the bard.
Yeah, yeah. And he was a race called a dragonborn. So imagine just like a normal human, but with like a dragon face proportional to its body and like scales and a tail.
Okay.
And his whole thing was he could just talk himself out of any situation. Because, and this is going to kind of get into mechanics, right? A little bit. So I'll try to keep it simple. But
I think Pitt might be asking one of those mechanics questions, is that a character has to be built and advanced. And I don't know if that's...
You can make pretty simple characters. Like, if you mean advanced as, like, it has, like, a bunch of different skills.
No, I think what he means is, like, you kind of build it, like, bare bones, and then you advance it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's my interpretation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you, like, level up characters, they're going to get new abilities. They're going to have more HP, you know. Yeah, they'll be able to do different stuff, you know, fight better, you know, not die as quick.
So Pitt, to put this in football terms, you can't, you know, like create a character on Madden and give him 100 speed and 100 hands and 100, you know, strength. Like you have to work up to all that stuff. So, So tell me more about, just kind of like building up this dragonborn, right?
Dragonborn, yes. Oh. So it was in a campaign that was like just a seafaring campaign, you know. So my character was just, you know, he was a bit of a charlatan, you know, bit of a criminal. So I was like, okay, my whole character is he's going to be able to talk his way out of any situation. He's going to be able to, you know, any kind of bind he can use his mouth to get out of it, you know. And so... Basically, in Dungeons & Dragons, there's a thing called proficiency, meaning there's a skill that you're really good at, and you get to add, like, a bonus number to it, right? My character had a thing called expertise, which means that number was doubled. So, like, let's see here. My character had a thing called, like, there's a thing in Dungeons & Dragons where you can roll for persuasion, which is how good you can persuade someone, you know?
Right. In human terms, it's the attractive female trying to talk her way out of a ticket.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, you know, just...
Not anything I've ever had the luxury of doing.
Yeah.
Nobody sees this,
but... That makes one of us.
We're going to give you a warning, sir.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't work when you're a man, apparently.
Shut up, Nolan.
No, but, yeah... So, my character, like, near the end of the campaign, had, like, added 17 to the roll. So, if you imagine, like, if you were taking a random number from 1 through 20, most Dungeons & Dragons, most, like, checks or most, like, what's a good word for it? I guess, like, difficulties, you know, like, the number, how high you have to roll on something is usually, the hardest is about, like, 30. So... You know, if you're rolling on average about 27, it's pretty easy to get out some binds.
Right. I guess, you know, we did kind of, not we, I'm asking the question. So I kind of neglected a very important question. How do you play Dungeons & Dragons? I mean, I feel like that's very simple, but I mean, okay, so does it make the most, like, could two people play Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, yeah, two people can absolutely play Dungeons & Dragons.
And that would be one person being the Dungeon Master and the other person being on the campaign.
Yeah, one, yeah.
Is it? But I do feel like, you know, again, based on what I've seen in movies and, you know, TV, the more the merrier, right?
And to a certain point, right? If the sweet spot is usually 4 to 5, you know, 3 is all right, and 6 you could maybe do. But, like, if you had, you know, 10-plus people, getting them all to pay attention to you, you know, getting them to not talk to each other, you know, getting them all invested in this campaign,
right.
That's usually not, you know, it's usually not as good, because especially you have to divide attention between everyone, you know, which is a lot easier to do with 4 people than it is, like, you know, 10.
And I do want to say I'm trying to be on brand with the D&D conversation tonight. So what I'm drinking tonight is just the very finest mead found in all the
world. That's great, you know.
Yeah. And it's giving me +3 charisma.
+3 charisma. All right, all right.
Is that pretty high? Is it? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I can tell. You seem extra, energetic, Oh, wow, man. Get your strength up, too. That's good.
Okay, so we talked earlier, the Dungeon Master, and he's got the wall separating him from the peons. But there's not necessarily like a board, right? I mean, there's just you have a variety of dice, right? But
yeah.
So how many different dice, or does that vary campaign to campaign? I mean, I always hear like and maybe this is from like watching Futurama or something, but the dodecahedron.
So that's your 20-sided dice.
That's 20, okay. What's the 12-sided?
I think that's the 12-sided dice. So
damn.
I can't remember. I can't remember anything past like, I think it's like quadrilateral and then pentagon. I don't think I remember anything past like 9 or 8. But there is like D&D has like a very specific dice, which each dice is just called D, which stands for dice, and then the number of sides that it has. So there's the D20, which is your main dice. There's the D12, the D8, and the D6, the D4. And those four dice are typically what you use for damage. So if you're like, you hit that goblin with your big long sword, I'll roll a D8 of damage. Or you might attack with a smaller like dagger. I'm going to roll a D4 of damage.
Let's get that goblin.
Yeah, let's get that,
By the way, I greggled it real quick. The 20-sided dice is called the icosahedron. Icosahedron.
Icosahedron.
All right. By the way, apparently if you Google, or in my case, greggle 20-sided dice, it will actually bring up like a opportunity to roll the dice. So if I click roll right now, it just rolled an 18. So tell me that's good.
Oh, that's good. Your character, a big, strong, burly man. You see this goblin in front of you.
Somewhere around here, I actually had a damn sword, like a toy sword, but I wish I could get that sucker right now.
With an 18,
Yeah.
I feel like that goblin's going down. Sword up, this goblin who had just been terrorizing you, bullying you. I'll say, where does Greg the Barbarian like to hit this guy?
I feel like we should maybe just try to take his arm.
Take his arm. You, in one single motion, chop his arm clean off. What are you doing to my throat?
Just that bit right there reminded me. So just a couple weeks ago, I finished up I ran through the entire series of The Big Bang Theory, and in one of the episodes that they're playing D&D, Howard becomes the Dungeon Master instead of Leonard, and Sheldon is, Sheldon's like, why are we doing this? But Howard breaks in all these voices, and Sheldon gets such a big kick out. He's like, Leonard, you're out. Howard's in. He's like, oh, I didn't know we had voices and characters thing. So that was fun. That took me back.
Yeah.
So, well, awesome, man. But they all these campaigns or quests, they don't all have to be, I guess, battle centric, right? I mean, could they?
Absolutely not. Like, there's some that
treasure or princess is in another castle or.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's basically, I want to say, kind of two different ways that you can resolve a conflict, right? One is fighting, right? One is, you took Blorbo's arm right off. He's bleeding out right now. But in other ways, Blorbo was bullying you, and you could have just been like, intimidated him to, stop, or persuaded him with some gold, perhaps. And typically,
13. Would 13.
Okay, so
with gold.
Yeah, Gorbo looks at your sack of gold. You know, goblins are pretty greedy typically, so he just kind of looks at you. I'll say there's about 4 gold in your pouch, and just quickly snatches it up, and just scurries away. You know.
Interesting. So I bribed my way free. That's actually sounds like something I would
do. You have no money now. And the bartender goes up to you, hey, by the way, just want to say you do have to pay for all the drinks you did. So hope you didn't give away your gold. You didn't do that, right? Nah, that's, and you got the bad ending now. You know, that's how it goes in Dungeons and Dragons.
So what do I do then? You know, what would my character do?
Would your character
fight his way out? Or is that up to me to decide?
That's up to you to decide, you know.
Okay. So I've got a tab.
You got that? You got 1 gold piece tab on you right now.
Here, while I think about that, Pitt asks a question. Nolan, how old are you? What do you do?
Well, let's see here. I'm 20 years old. I am training, or I'm in school to be a special education teacher. And I work at Little Caesars, you know?
Nice. Pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
How's that crazy bread? I'm a big fan of the crazy bread.
The crazy bread is, let's see here. Hang on. This is for in case my boss is watching. I love crazy bread. I love all Little Caesars products. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, we can just get this off the record. I think Domino's better, but, you know, just, you know.
We did Pizza Hut tonight.
Pizza Hut. I haven't had pizza in so long, you know.
All right. So my character, he's got no gold, but he's got a one gold coin tab.
He's got 1 gold coin tab.
Could he arm wrestle another patron with a wager of a gold coin?
For sure. Yeah. I'll say you look around. There's only 3 other bar patrons. One is this orc guy, you know, about, yeah, he's sitting down, but you still think he's at least, you know, 6'3" plus tall. There's a gnome who seems to be pretty burly, but not, he's only about 2 feet tall. And then there's just a human guy, you know, looks pretty skinny, maybe about the 5'10" range. He'll probably tell you 6 foot, but and he doesn't seem that, you know, strong.
I'll probably go after let's go after the big guy.
You know, you have to the big guy? Yeah.
All right, what do I need to roll to get my coin to pay my tab and not fight my way out of the pub or tavern?
Let's see if you can convince this guy to arm wrestle you for money, you know?
All right.
That's so when you come up to this guy, you know, he has green skin, you know, pretty burly looking, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger type of body. And some, like, what looks to be, like, a dragon tattoo, you know, on about this side of his arm.
Okay.
You know?
So he means business.
He has a pretty stern look on his face.
And I say, I think I'm tougher than you, and I've got a gold coin against your gold coin to prove it in arm wrestling.
All right.
Match.
Go ahead and roll that d20, and I'll say you can add... I'll let you add 3 to this. You know, your meat has given you a +3.
And, oh, crap, it's a 2.
It's a 2. So this guy turns around. He's about a whole 2-3 inches taller than you, and he just goes, I don't think so, sweetheart. You better move your butt along, okay?
I didn't expect that. All right, I think I'm just going to... tell the barkeep that I can't pay. And
what do you mean you can't pay? That seems like a very bad thing.
I can't. I paid off the goblin, and I don't have any more gold. I can work it off. How much would it take to work off? I mean, do you need any like bouncer help, or need me to throw any ruffians out, or keep the riffraff in check?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Just go in the back and start washing some dishes. That's all really I need from you.
Perfect. I'll go do that. Do I roll for that, or do I?
Yeah, go ahead and roll a flat d20. See how well you wash these dishes.
Oh, 19.
19. Awesome. You are the best dishwasher. And
he is going to be so pleased.
At the end of the night, you know, the bartender goes up to you and just hands you a contract and goes like, if you want a job, you know, I mean, if you can't afford a one gold piece, it seems like you're pretty tight on money right now. You gave away your life savings to a goblin, so.
Ooh, I tell you what, I'd ask him if he had a room in like the, was it the tavern / you know, I don't want to say
Airbnb. Oh, yeah, yeah. I could stay the night.
If I could stay the night in the, all right, what do I got to roll for that?
For sleeping, you know, honestly, you can just sleep, you know, it's pretty easy. But you go to sleep, you know, you're fully rested from the night, and but you actually, as you wake up, you see Blorbo the goblin reach in and try and steal that contract.
Oh, he wants that dishwashing gig.
He wants that dishwashing gig. You know, he's tight on money.
He can have the dishwashing gig. But can I sell it to him for my 4 gold pieces?
I'll say you're able to quickly, it's near your nightstand, you're able to quickly grab it, and he's like 4 feet tall. He's not tall enough to reach it.
This is so much fun.
Yeah. So, Blobo is going to look at you and go like, what does Blobo have to do to get that? Blobo needs a job.
I'll sell it to you for my 4 gold pieces back.
All right, go ahead and roll that d20 and add 3 to it.
7 + 3, 10.
Okay. Blorbo looks at you and goes, 2 gold pieces.
I say 3, and I'll roll again.
Yeah, roll again.
And it's a 7 again.
So okay, is that 7 + 3 or just 7?
7 + 3. Sorry.
Okay, so 10. Okay. Blorbo looks at you and goes, he's thinking about it. He really wants that dishwasher gig. He goes, fine. And he hands out 3 gold pieces for you to grab. And you guys make the exchange.
I get up and I leave the tavern.
You leave the tavern. You're in the city of Waterdeep, you know, a very bustling, you know, New York kind of style city. a bunch of wooden, you know, houses, you know, very medieval, like. And, you know, off in the distance, you see what looks to be a bunch of ruffians, you know, attacking this poor old lady.
Oh, can't let that stand idly by. I gotta go and intervene on her behalf.
So, you rush forward to battle, you know, your long sword drawn, your shield up. And you approach, you see it looks to be 2 humans and a bunch of eyeball tattoos. All over their body. Yeah,
I feel like that's probably a sign of something. I wonder if I should make a note of that in my ledger for possible eyeball tattoos coming up later.
Go ahead, actually, roll a d20, and I'll say, well, I'll let you add a +1 to this, you know?
4 + 1 = 5.
Bit. I mean, it looks to be some sort of, like, gang-affiliated tattoo, but you're not for sure which one, you know? Okay. But, you know, so it looks like it's, like, associated with a group of people, you know?
Okay. Well, I honestly hate to pause because this is a lot of fun, but yeah. I didn't intend to, like, break into random, D&D. But, you know, when that's how I feel like that's – and the fact that you were just, you know, right there with the ideas and keeping the narrative going, you know, obviously you've been – what is your preference, being on the Dungeon Master side or being on the campaign side?
Oh, definitely being on the Dungeon Master side. Okay. I hate not knowing stuff. I hate, you know, be like, oh, what's the mystery? You know, I need to know everything. So,
well, I mean, and again, you just made that up right off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, you didn't have this, like, well, if Greg asks, I'm going to whip this tavern.
Yeah. And
all that started was for me just saying, the finest mead in all the realms, you know? So I do want to point this out. Pitt said a few minutes back while we were in the heart of the story, says, "Oh, brother, you're inking my string. Special ed teachers are half of my family. Love you, buddy."
So, oh, yeah. You know, that's great.
You've already got you might be welcome back here faster than your dad, just so you know. And Pitt says, "You're a good dungeon master."
I appreciate that. I always love hearing it, you know.
And Minnie's giving you the death sentence, saying that you look just like your dad.
Oh, I mean, I guess like a handsomer version. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You know, a lot of people tell me I look more like Ryan Reynolds or, you know, Tom Ryan Holland Gosling or Kevin Hart, you know, any of those guys. I've been told I look just like them.
Well, I know for a fact you're too tall to be Kevin Hart.
That's the one thing. It's just the height.
Oh, jeez. You got to come back around more often. You're way more funny. You're way funnier than your dad. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, I think that's just because I'm new. You know, I haven't grinded down by the Nerds United podcast yet.
All the jokes are fresh.
Yeah. You know, I still got, you know, starry eyed, you know. That's
right. Yeah. So, if you're preparing a campaign for, you know, your regular group, and I don't know, how often do you play D&D?
I'm taking a bit of a hiatus right now, but typically once I do start up again, I usually play about once a week. You know? Okay.
Are you almost always the DM?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, okay.
Have you been doing one continuous campaign, or, do you mix it up every week? Do something different?
Well, I've completed about three campaigns so far. And then, you know, I started a new one, but I kind of had to like, be like, "Hey guys, I got to quit now." 'Cause you know, life and school and all that. But, let's see here. Typically sometimes, you know, campaigns can last from, you know, a week, you know, just 1 week, which are called one shots. Basically, it's like you're going to play a whole adventure in one night, you know. Right.
Could it take 2 hours, 6 hours? Or
yeah, 2 hours, 6 hours. Typically, one shots are a little bit longer than your normal, like, campaign session.
Gotcha.
Just because they have to be a whole adventure in one thing. But, sorry, what was your original question?
Well, no, I just, you know, which of those types, I guess, is more frequent, but do you have a preference? Do you prefer the one shot or the more elaborate story?
I would say the more elaborate story, because I can introduce more characters. You know, I don't have to rush them. You know,
if you were going to start a campaign next week with your friends, you know, with your regular crew, mm-hmm. how much, or maybe next week, but like how much prep time are you putting into, let's say it's not going to be a one shot, it's going to be, you're going to play a couple hours a night every week for, you know, a month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, how to get that going, like how much prep time are you putting into that initial evening of, you know, the storytelling?
I would make a general summary. Like, okay, what is the setting that they're in? Right. So I'm going to be like, you know what? I really want to play a space-based campaign.
Okay.
So, but, all right, they're in space, right? Then I'd like to think, okay, what's their goal, right? So I'll say they're fighting an army of bad guys, right? Who all use the power of fear to, you know, subdue their opponents, right? So then I'm like, all right. So I'm like, okay, I got one, like, bad guy. You know, I got a group of bad guys that they're trying to stop. I might give them, like, some allies. So I'm like, okay, here's another group of people that use, like, the power of hope.
Oh, wow.
To, you know, help them, you know. Or, you know, people who they're friendly with and they can interact with. And that makes them, like, you know, other, like, towns or cities or space or planets, you know, for them to interact with. And after that, it's kind of just a take it a session by session thing, you know.
You mentioned this, you know, theoretical or hypothetical, I guess, better word, campaign in space. Do you find, are there like the Dungeons and Dragons purists who will only do like that Middle Earth type of, you know?
Oh yeah, fantasy, absolutely.
They won't entertain a space or a,
Yeah, I know.
Dark in New York City. I mean, they're just, if there's not a damn dragon in this thing, I don't want anything to do with it.
Absolutely.
But I got better have some castles in a dungeon, too. Mm-hmm.
The other host who's too good for us right now decided to waltz in. There's absolutely people who, you know, are just Dungeons and Dragons purists, which is great for them, you know. I would say I'm pretty typically, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a purist, but I do kind of go for the generic, you know, castles and dungeons type thing.
With also dragons,
you know, dragon princesses and, you know, the knights that kidnap them, just typical stuff.
I like that. The knights that kidnap the dragons.
Wonderful. Yeah, the knights that kidnap the dragons, you know, it's a rock, paper, scissors thing, you know. Of course. Dragons kidnap princesses, you know, princesses kidnap knights.
Knights kidnap dragons.
Yeah, you know.
So, you should know that the people who have started watching this show mm-hmm. have come over from one of my Husker shows, the Five Heart Podcast. So Pitt says, I ain't sure Nolan is a Husker yet. We should address that.
I have no idea what a Husker is, but I'm willing to be one.
Okay. Because Minnie says, OMG, Nolan isn't a Husker. It's a good time to join. So, the Huskers, the Nebraska Corn Huskers.
Okay.
It's a Nebraska show. That's where everybody came from. So the fact that you're willing, I mean, I took your dad to an Illinois-Nebraska game a couple of years back. I think you remember that. So, now's your chance to definitively declare yourself a Husker.
Yeah, for sure. Just real quick, just for my mom, I love Kentucky. There's no state I like better. You just edit this part out. I love Nebraska. Nebraska is my favorite state. Nothing better is Nebraska. You guys got a lot of great stuff, I'm sure.
We sure do.
Yeah.
I have a book that I read to my boys most nights at bedtime, and it's all about all the great things in Nebraska, including the Huskers. So,
including the Huskers.
Yeah. I don't know. Here we go. Minnie, this is a side conversation, which happens all the time, but Minnie, in addressing Pitt, says, Pitt, I have a feeling you're just jealous of people with luscious locks.
Because
Pitt had said that Nolan, your hair, your part never moves. Is it a wig?
It is, actually. I got my hair glued because I was, like, really worried about, you know, looking good on this podcast. So I actually just super glued my hair. It's very sticky right now, and I have to be careful because if I touch it, it kind of just, you know, sticks a little bit. But, you know, and I'm gonna have to shave it, actually, completely off at the end of this night. So, you know. Jesus.
But it was – I'm trying to remember which Police Academy movie it was where I want to say it was the second one where I can't even remember but they put glue in like the captain's shampoo or something like that. So his hair is like this and he's just stuck there and they have to shave his head. So he's got hairy palms, which is its own joke in the 1980s. So Pitt said that, Minnie said, I think you're jealous of people with luscious locks. And, Pitt says, Minnie, my locks compare with yours, just a lot more auburn. Minnie has, as you can tell by the picture, long hair. She says, we need proof. Send a picture to my email. So, yeah, Pitt, if you have real hair, Pitt, we know where to send it. So, and Minnie says that this guy, a.k.a. you, is freaking great. So
I tell myself that all the time, you know.
That you're great?
That I'm great, you know.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
What else? I know there's so much, like, you know, we've been talking, we barely scratched the surface of D&D, but what else can we address in the first night of Dungeons & Dragons discussion here on Nerds United?
I would say that kind of one of the biggest things is just make sure you have the tone, you know, right with the rest of your players, you know? If I come to you, you know, or let's say I'm making a campaign for you, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, Greg, I got this amazing campaign, you know? It's going to be a very serious, you know, dark setting. it wouldn't really make sense for you to be like, all right, I'm going to make Fartso the farting goblin. He's going to be cracking jokes the whole time.
No.
No, that makes sense. His character.
That's your dad's character?
That's your dad's character, yeah. He's not invited to the campaign. That's why.
Fartso the farting goblin. Yeah, you know what, though? That if you ever did a D&D campaign for my boys, you would get like a Fartso the fart or booty butt.
Booty butt, you know, and honestly, I would expect that. You know, I would tailor my campaign. You know, they got to stuff the evil toilet, you know.
No, let's not. Let's not. You say stop or stuff.
They got to stop it. You know, they got to stop that evil toilet.
Robert already stopped the evil toilet up a couple of weeks ago. And we had to pull up half the kitchen flooring yesterday because of it to replace. So I think we're done with stopping toilets, sir. Well, I mean, I don't know if there's anything else. I mean, tone and tenor seems, you know, it's all got to be appropriate. And agreeable, you know, but I'm excited, you know, I think we'll have some downtime here in the not too distant future. Maybe the three of us get together, do one of these, I don't know, you know, a one shot or, you know, like a more time friendly 4-hour one shot or something like that. But, man, I appreciate learning more about this. It's been a lot of fun. So thank you, Nolan, for coming in you know, making the show entertaining again. And there's Mike and there goes Mike.
Yeah. Oh, and okay. He's thinking about doing a cameo. He's like, hi.
Mike, are you staying or going?
I'm going.
All right. So what you're saying is that's the end of the show.
That's it. I look forward to listening to this because I only heard a little bit. So
I thought you'd be watching and joining in the comments.
No, I had to read stuff for school that I still don't understand.
On a Friday night? Like, you don't have homework tonight.
No, but I have to have it done before Tuesday, and I'm behind on it, so and it's a lot.
Pitt wants to know if we could build an online D&D league with Nolan.
I mean, let's see here. Depends on how many people in this league, but yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, typically they're called like D&D parties, you know, which is like a group of adventurers. But yeah, for sure, you know.
Awesome. We'll figure that out in upcoming days, weeks, or episodes. So, Pitt, thank you for coming. Pitt, I don't know if we hyped that this would be a D&D episode, but I know we had talked in previous weeks that soon we'd, you know, maybe after the first of the year, we'd have you on, Nolan, to discuss some Dungeons & Dragons. And Pitt's like, you know, right up, he said something like right up his alley. So, and then Mike, Pitt wanted to know what you were studying because he could help.
Epidemiology.
What you got for us?
That's a real word.
What is epidemiology?
It's kind of the study of diseases and how they're spread and tracking them and all that stuff. It's for my master's in public health, which it's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
master's in public health. Go with the grace and favor of the Lord, Mike. And Nolan, thank you, buddy. Pitt's like, I lied. I can't help. But we appreciate the honesty, Pitt. So, Nolan, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge and your passion about Dungeons & Dragons with us here tonight. And for everybody watching live and for everybody
all three who's of you. We really love you guys.
And for everybody who's going to come across this at recording it at a later time. So, do you know how we end the show, or does your dad need to sit in for that as well?
How do you guys end the show?
I'll see if you can do it.
All right. Okay. I'll just follow your example, and I'll do it. You know.
Let's see if you are as old of a soul as you're not claiming to be. So that'll do it for this episode of Nerds United. If you haven't yet, make sure that you like this video, subscribe to the Nerds United YouTube channel, and that's right. Point to that. Ring that bell for notifications so you never miss a new episode or a new video when we are dropping that information. So for all of you, and a Highlander comes in and says, I missed the D&D episode, and I'm late. The good news, Highlander, is please watch the episode. We're just about done here, but go back and watch it. I think you'll enjoy it. Highlander's another one who wanted in on the D&D talk. So, and I don't... You're a good shit, Nolan. I don't know if that's a compliment.
I think that's a compliment. It's good, right? You know, like, I've had some good shits before, you know. It's really satisfying, you know. Just, you know.
But he did say, thanks, buddy. So, you know, we appreciate that. For this episode of Nerds United, sitting in the co-host chair tonight, the special guest chair, we'll say, is Nolan Luther, in for the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I'm still Greg Mahochko, and this is Nerds United, a Jerry Monkey podcast, reminding you each and every week to be kind, Nolan and?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Yo, yo, yo.
Mike, you want to help him out?
Word up, yo.
And?
Hot diggity dog.
Highlanders got it. Oh, somebody okay. Just read Highlanders comment. Say it again, Nolan. I was talking over you.
Oh, rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.